Good afternoon, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome for another episode. Today, we are recording episode number 105, and I have my good friend with me, Charles Campbell. Charles joins us from Argentina, I believe, but I thought you said you were somewhere else before, but I'm guessing you're in Argentina right now, and I'm sure you can update us on the location here in a few seconds. Charles, good to see you, man.
Yeah, I am in Cordoba, Argentina, which for me is the nerve center where it all happens. It's where I actually live when I'm not on a plane, a bus, an automobile, or a train. But I did spend last weekend for Easter alone on the beach reading a book in Rio de Janeiro.
Hey, what a place to be, man, Rio de Janeiro. I've never been to Brazil. I'd love to see it one day, hopefully soon. Did you have fun, though? Was the weather okay?
Well, Rio de Janeiro never has bad weather. So, I have four children. So being alone on a beach chair with a book was Dan Brown, all about Florence and Venice. It was quite the thing.
Absolutely. Hey, so since I got you here, why don't you, I know the audience is curious to hear. I know we've seen a lot of comments on LinkedIn and various social postings on the last Juntos conference that took place in Mexico City in March. So why don't we give the audience some perspective from your side? You were involved quite heavily in the organizing and structuring it and in booking the talents and encouraging people to come in and attend. You were firing on all cylinders on this one. Just give us your perspective. What do you think of the results so far?
Oh, vamos juntos. Well, I mean, it was an amazing event. These are challenging business times, but we got 140 people in Mexico City, which is an unusual location for a conference. I mean, if you look at our industry, there's conferences all the time in Barcelona, Silicon Valley, Dublin. You know, the locations tend to get repeated. You just had one in Montreal for Gala. And
we missed you up there, man.
Yeah, I missed that one. Robin, the only time of the year where I don't go anywhere is end of March, April, and May. On a business level, I sit tight for 2 months in Argentina with no business travel. Every year, it's the only time. So Vamos Juntos was in Mexico City, which, as I said, is an unusual destination for a conference in this industry. Vamos Juntos is the annual summit of Juntos. And Juntos is an organization that was established to raise the bar of translation, interpreting, and localization standards in Latin America and the Caribbean, and promote the growth of the industry across the board in the region through the organization of face-to-face events. So Vamos Juntos itself is critical for the objectives of Juntos of bringing people together. Juntos in Spanish and in Portuguese means together. It's a cool name because that's what we're all about. So we got together in Mexico City, 140 people, very similar number to what we had in Lima, Peru, 1 year before. But almost triple the number we had in our first summit in Rio de Janeiro almost 3 years ago now. So time flies, and you know, Mexico City was a wonderful destination, but also involved challenges of getting people there. You know, it's one of those countries where almost everybody's been to Mexico, but nobody's been to Mexico City. So that was really interesting, and we were really pleased with the outcome.
And I know I've heard a lot of people, and you commented quite a bit on this one when I met you in Riyadh, I guess, on the venue. The venue was exceptional too. You mentioned Hotel Presidente Intercontinental.
Yeah, we were very lucky. Hotel El Presidente, which is an intercontinental hotel, it's where Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Fidel Castro, and so many other world leaders from different walks of life and different ways of thinking have stayed there, princes and kings. So it was certainly good enough for us. The catering was wonderful. The rooms had a beautiful view of the Chapultepec Forest. We were right next to this huge park in Mexico City, wonderful restaurants right across the street for tacos and beers, several restaurants in the hotel for more sophisticated cuisine as well.
Okay, great. And the comments that I heard back, there's a lot of people commenting on LinkedIn. I was keeping an eye on it, although I wasn't able to make it, and that's unfortunate for me. There's a lot of positive comments were posted on LinkedIn. I remember you mentioning something about Renato, you know, selling the workshop that he did, overselling the workshop, I guess, or, you know, sold out event for him. And Stefan Yui was mentioning that there's a lot of good things. He liked, I guess, the intimate setting that it was in. What's the general feedback that you've heard from the keynotes, which I know you've had a few, and the audience?
Well, funny thing was we had two Brazilian keynotes. So we had the opening keynote with Evandro Magalhães, and that was really inspirational and interesting from his standpoint as a former chief interpreter at the United Nations. And then the closing keynote was kind of a view of where the industry is going from Renato Beninato, who made some pretty explosive comments about, you know, like standards are dead. And then, of course, several people in the audience said, you're totally wrong. You know, it was a very dynamic, heated, passionate exchange, as you would expect in Latin America and the Caribbean. It was great. Lots of debate, lots of ideas. We had some amazing speakers. I mean, just absolutely amazing speakers from the translation space, from the interpreting space, from localization, from training, from Europe, from the United States, from Latin America and the Caribbean. We also had workshops, pre-conference workshops. Renato's workshop was sold out. There were many things said that cannot be repeated in that workshop. You'll have to go to one to hear
it. You're going to go to one to appreciate it, right?
It was no holds barred, I'm telling you. Definitely very glad it wasn't filmed. We all opened up, and it was about growing against all odds. So very fitting topic for the moment that the industry is in terms of some companies are growing fast and others are struggling. And, you know, there's no rising tide that's lifting all boats. People are upset about decisions from the United States government. Other countries are pushing ahead with translation and localization as if there were no tomorrow. You know, it's a mixed bag full of opportunities. So Renato gave a very timely workshop, I would say, to us. And Anne-Marie Colliander-Lind gave a wonderful workshop about LinkedIn. She is such a passionate but yet humble speaker. We all joked and called her Miss Sweden. We had a lot of fun. And, you know, I use LinkedIn all the time. I routinely get like thousands of people viewing a post and lots of interaction. I can tell you I learned so many things in her workshop, which was really cool. We had another workshop from Evandro Magalhães about managing divas and other personality types in the interpreting side of the business, which was very, very interesting. And then we had another workshop, let me see, about operational excellence from Andre from Poland. And I'm momentarily forgetting his surname, which is very embarrassing, but it will come back to me shortly. And that was awesome. So we were very, very lucky to have such amazing speakers. Nadoma, gosh, how could I forget Andre Nadoma? I didn't do his workshop because it was at the same time as Anne-Marie's workshop, but I heard it was a 10 out of 10, an A+. Someone came out of that workshop and walked up to me and said, I'm a team leader in the company I work at, but now I feel like I'm the CEO. I'm going to think like a CEO of my department. And I thought, wow, gosh, I should have done that workshop as well. But you couldn't be in two places at the same time.
Yep. And also, I heard a lot of conversations, and I'll come back to the Renato workshop because we had the same thing in Canada, same fireworks. It was a repeat, I guess, of what happened in Mexico City regarding the standard topic.
It happened in Mexico first, Robin.
I know. It was a repeat. That's what I meant. So yeah, it was like lots of fireworks on the topic, you know, standards are dead, but I didn't say that and I didn't mean it. And, you know, and the team in Canada were those passionate about, and most of the Canadian, well, some of the Canadian companies are, not most of them, but most of them, I would say they are involved in the ISO standards. And that's, you know, they've been doing this work for many, many years, like involved in the authoring of those ISO standards. And here they get the message seeing, or they hear the message reverberating. Renato said that, and they're blaming him for it. And I don't know, rightly or wrongly, I have no idea, but the fireworks was happening in Montreal. So now that you mentioned it, and that happened in Mexico City, I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's where it started, I think.
Well, I think, you know, for speakers, sometimes they want to play the devil's advocate. They want to create some kind of reaction. You know, no one wants to speak to a quiet room. So fireworks is at least a sign that people are interacting.
They're alive.
And they're metabolizing paying attention to you, and you're creating debate.
True.
I don't agree by any means with the thesis that standards are dead. TBO, the company that I work for when I'm not working for Juntos, my other life, has 5 international standards, including the Canadian national standards. So there's definitely no way that I would agree with that. But, you know, we don't censure the speakers. They speak from the heart. They can be bombastic. And you know, you just have to run with it.
Look, I mean, it's an interesting
debate, and I'm really glad to hear that it was said first in Mexico.
It made its way here before he arrived here. There was a lot of discussion about it.
You were warned.
Pre-warned, yeah. You know, I mean, it's an industry discussion. You got to be able to have these conversations, you know, openly, and you know, even if sometimes you're pushing the envelope from a thinking perspective, that's what these conversations are about, is to see how far we can stretch our thinking, our tolerance, our, you know, are we ready for the next idea? Are we ready for the next, you know, maybe down the road, I have no idea if we continue evolving as an industry and we don't plateau, which I don't imagine we will, that we will probably get to a point where we're saying, you know, some of the methods that we're using right now to evaluate quality may not be the same tomorrow. I don't know.
Well, I'm very sure, Robin, that everything is going to evolve. And that evolution is not going to be a staircase where each step is the same height above the step before. There's going to be lurches forward. There's going to be steps left and right. There's going to be pivots. There's going to be ups and downs. Well, I mean, we can have a rocky year in this industry and get over it and live to prosper. I mean, what industry doesn't have a rocky year or a challenging time?
But we're dramatic people. Come on. I mean,
I'm surprised at all the drama that's out there. I mean, come on. It's been like 30 years of straight growth, and suddenly there's a rocky year and everyone is like at the end of the world is nigh.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think that, I mean, I just read the report about RWS's stock price falling, and I'm very glad that I'm, you know, that TBO is not listed on the stock market. But if you read the fine print of the report, their sales are down 1.5%, and many areas have grown. 1.5% is not a big drop. And if that's the worst year you've had in the last 20 years, then I envy you. I'm sure they will get over it and prosper and continue to grow as a company. You know, I don't see the doomsday or in all of this. This is just the sparks that fly in an industry that has got life in it.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely correct. I mean, there's a lot of positivity going on in the industry. There's a lot of things being done to create the new generation of leaders, the new generation of companies, new generation of services and products. They're going to be coming out on the marketplace in our industry. I mean, I talk to them all the time. It is not a gloom and doom, if you want to see it that way.
I mean, but yeah, the floor is not falling out. This is not like the airline industry in 2021, the hotel industry. You know? This is a rocky year where people are being forced to change at a rate faster than expected and to do jobs that are different from what maybe they wanted to do when they started out with their master's program at university, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. It's just a changing times. I used an example in a recent conversation of of an uncle of mine that I dearly love, who's now in his mid-80s. And in the early 1980s, he sold fax machines and fax paper, and he made a lot of money. And he was like, had a fancy car. He was doing really well. And then, you know, that industry tanked. And I said, how is it tanking? You know, I have an aunt who's deaf, and she communicates with my mother by fax machine. He said, well, most of the industry is drying up. New technologies are coming in. And then he started selling these big, clunky car phones that he had, you know, stick in the middle of your car next to the gear stick. And it was big, big, like a brick, and it was connected by a cord to the car, the car phone. And then he was selling GSM digital phones that yachts would use in the middle of the ocean. And he was raving about GSM digital, you know, and maps that were coming. And I was like, you know, what do we need maps for? I know how to get to my friends' houses. And then in the 90s, it was, you know, little tiny Nokia phones. And then he retired out around about when BlackBerry came in. So he missed the smartphones. All the time, you know, he was always employed, always earned good money, always learning new things. And when he started this roller coaster, he was in his 40s. Before that, he had been a chocolate salesman. You know, so he adapted at every turn of the road and managed to handle all this new technology. And it's wonderful. You know, so what I'm saying is that jobs are created and jobs are destroyed. And value is created and value is destroyed. And we as human beings have to adapt. The economy is growing. The industry is growing. I mean, if you look at it, this isn't like fax paper or fax machines. We are translating millions times more volume than we did 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, I started out doing translations, Robin, of birth certificates, death certificates, driver's licenses, passports. You know, passports. There's nothing less sexy than that. I mean, a big job was a 10-page job. So we've come a long way as an industry. And sometimes we look at the photo and the photo isn't what we want it to be. But I think you have to look at the whole movie of how far we've come. And is this the end? Well, I don't think so by any means.
No. And you know, I keep saying this. Look, once we figure it out, I mean, I was asking one time when I was working in the courier business back in the days. I used to work for a company called Purolator. That's the equivalent of FedEx. It's a Canadian company, and it's now owned by the post office. And I was just having a chat with our CEO. I was the IT director for them. So, and he came over to our site, and he was chatting with me. I said to him, I said, so, you know, what's the evolution of their business? Of this business? Are you worried about any types of evolution that will probably put the courier business out of its normal day-to-day operation? He said, Robin, look, until they figure out how to, you know, decompose a molecule on one side and reassemble it on the other side, we will still need to move packages from one point A to point B. So we'll always be in business. Yeah, there are a few things we'll adapt, we'll change to the way administration processes work, the way the billing system work. But fundamentally, you still have to move a package from one location to another. And I compare that to our industry. I mean, you're not touching the core fundamental of our business, meaning that as demographics, as cultures, as countries that speaks 500, 600 different languages, you know, variety of these languages, we're not going to be able to figure out a way to automate and chip implant all of this into somebody's brain tomorrow. This has started back in the Babylon day 10,000 years ago, and it will continue on for another 10,000. Yeah, the way we offer the service may change. Who cares?
Of any industry that's not changing.
That's the evolution. I mean, otherwise we would have been in the Flintstone age till now. I mean, it's crazy.
Exactly. And Vamos Juntos was a great forum for talking about all this because people were excited to be in Mexico. You know, the food was amazing. We had a rooftop party. There was an eclipse during the party and an earthquake, which we didn't really feel, but some sirens sounded and they stopped serving drinks for 2 minutes. We had tango dancers to announce the next destination of Vamos Juntos in Buenos Aires in mid-March 2026, Argentina. So there was a lot of fun going on, a lot of networking, a lot of people talking, people from over 25 different countries, a lot of Spanish, a bit of Portuguese, a lot of English too. The person who came the furthest, I think was a tie between Australia and China. So, you know, it really put Mexico on the map in the industry, and we had like the world's best speakers there. So it was exciting to see that Mexico could stand up and take its place at the table and organize an event that was on a par with an event in Dublin or Barcelona. Why not? You know, but it had never been done before. Nobody has ever really organized events in the so-called third world before. It's always bumped around from, you know, Berlin to Boston. I'm really proud of that. I'm excited to have been part of the organization, the board that made it all happen. We had a lot of support from the local Mexican team in terms of just the logistics of getting things done. There was, of course, a lot of questions. There were a lot of questions in the air about, for example, that was right when the U.S. government was announcing that it was going to impose tariffs on Mexico and Canada. So there was this huge discussion about that and what impact that would have. And it's definitely clear that in Mexico, at least, already many aspects of the economy have kind of gone into a holding pattern until they can work out what the consequences of these tariffs will be in terms of investment and so forth. So, you know, it was wonderful to be talking about the newest things that are happening in an industry. No lag time between Mexico and anywhere else.
And I know one of the things that probably was on the menu, on a discussion menu for the conference in Mexico, it was a technology track. You had a technology track in there. Can you and I'm interested to hear, there was a bit of a whispering about TMS architecture. Is there anything you can add to that? Do you have any visibility that you may not have attended it? I don't know.
Well, specifically, we had several sponsors on the technology side in terms of interpreting technology and workflow technologies, and sponsors are essential for making events like Vamos Juntos take place. And there was a lot of discussion about technology, not so much about TMS, but about how to keep up to date with technology and how to utilize technology, how to automate, how to save money, how to, you know, because some people feel that their sales are under threat from technology, and other people feel that their sales are supported by technology. So I guess, you know, try and get them both. But we had some amazing speakers on the technological front. We had Javi Diaz from Bureau Works. We had Jan Hinrichs from Beluga in Madrid. I mean, we had some amazing speakers talking about technology. We had a buyer side panel with people from Meta, people from Salesforce, Korn Ferry. We also had people from Uber presenting at the conference. So that was the first time we'd had the buyers come to the event, which I thought was amazing. It was great to hear from them. I also forgot to mention Rotary International. I mean, there's just so many different things to mention about Vamos Juntos that it's very difficult to recall it all. It was just a flurry of high quality interactions between high quality individuals.
Yeah. How was Sophie? I guess she joined Halbesser. She joined Uber now, right?
That's right. So Sophie Halbesser had attended our event in Lima last year and had said that it was her last translation, interpreting, and localization event before she was leaving the industry, because she left Plunet, her employer, shortly afterwards. But she came back out of retirement. Turns out that she was actually starting work at Uber the Monday after the conference, which is pretty amazing, in some amazing sales role fitting for her profile. And so she came back and moderated the Women Business Leaders panel, which I thought was amazing. She really is so committed to our industry, and it was just wonderful to have her there. We had the most amazing speakers, Robin.
I mean, one of my colleagues.
It was a pleasure to be among such visionaries, people very stirred up and passionate about where this industry is going. Some people focused on the language access as a civil right. So we got hijacked by Carol Valandia, who gracefully asked to use the microphone in an unscheduled fashion to talk about language access in the context of some of the decisions coming out of the U.S. federal government. That was really interesting. And of course, her commitment and passion, very admirable. And there was just so many ideas bouncing around the room. It was a pleasure for me. And we even had people who had attended third time in a row, which I thought was pretty cool.
Very nice. And I know one of my colleagues, I was just talking to him a couple weeks ago, Alex, he spoke, I guess, from Lionbridge. He was speaker as well in Mexico.
Yes. Alex Carney from Lionbridge gave a presentation on sales. I wasn't at that presentation because I was presenting another speaker in another room. We had, at some point of the day, we had simultaneous rooms. So two speakers at the same time. I'm pretty sure that we won't be doing that again in Buenos Aires, that we'll just have a few fewer speakers and we won't be splitting the room, because it was really cool to have 140 people in one room. So I unfortunately didn't get to see Alex Carney.
Okay, excellent. But one more question on the Mexico thing. Now, in Canada, I see the government, like, they're involved in the language business. Does Mexico do the same? Like, did you guys have a government representatives or?
No, we were not able to articulate contact with the government. It was not easy. That's that. Sometimes that's the way. When we did the conference in Lima, we did have someone from the government attend. And we also had some authorities from the local College of Translators and Interpreters of Peru attend. In the case of Mexico, we did not. We did have a university panel where there were some professors from local universities presenting on different challenges that they face with their students and so forth. That was fantastic. But unfortunately, we did not get government involvement. It's not always easy. There was apparently a very big conference organized by the government happening at a nearby hotel. So we didn't, we were like competing with them. But that's cool. You know, in some countries, translation is definitely more on the radar of the government than in others. You know, like in Europe, in the European Union in particular, or in Canada, or in Australia and New Zealand, translation is very much on the radar of the government. And there's other countries where translation is a lively industry, like Argentina or Brazil or Egypt and many other countries out there. But it's not, there's an industry despite the government, not because the government is a big buyer of translation. So, you know, in some countries, the translation industry is full of, you know, lots of things going on and high-quality jobs and very interesting people and conferences and events, and the government has no idea it's even happening.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that, you know, other industries do and regularly in these types of conferences, and that's just an idea for the as we look forward, not just for Vamos Juntos, but any other other conference that maybe somebody was thinking about if they're listening to this. And I know the audience have maybe slipped, but I'll confirm it. You've heard it, I guess, here on this channel, that the next Vamos Juntos will be in Buenos Aires in March 2026 in Argentina. So if you had fun in Mexico, imagine what you can do in Buenos Aires, Argentina next year. Hopefully that will be a great success. But one of the things that I've been involved in is some of the other conferences for other industries is measuring the success of an industry conference. They use different metrics that I've, you know, in our industry, we use metrics like, you know, like, did you have fun? Even if you do a survey, was it successful? Did you get what you want out of it? You know, if you answer all these things positively, you get the reaction that we had a positive outcome. From the conference. But what other industries do, and that's just an idea, is they measure by the number of networking events that took place, the number of meetings that took place, and they measure those. They book them, they measure them, they know where they are. And they also measure the number of deals that were signed during specific conference. And the reason they do that is to make sure that you're sending the signal that, you know, we're just not just coming to hang out. We're just coming to do business together, learn and do business together, obviously. And if there is a such measurement, I think that would send a huge signal out to, if you want to be attending conference A versus conference B, look what we can offer here. So Just some for the future.
I don't know how many deals were signed at Vamos Juntos. I didn't poke my nose into people's.
No, no way. Right. I mean, there was no, nobody's going to come out and tell you.
The networking was amazing. I mean, as I said, we had a rooftop party with a.
a rooftop party, man. That says it all. That's
with
it.
Tango dancers and with a full moon and with an earthquake. So, you know, what more could you ask for there?
Maybe the rooftop party and a few tequilas caused the earthquake.
I certainly had more tacos in that week in Mexico than I had in my entire adult life. On the last night I was there, I went to the Italian restaurant in the hotel, which was very, very good because that was just tacoed out. But Vamos Juntos is full of very talkative and open-minded people who are open to talking and discussing the issues they're facing, potential solutions. There's a lot of benchmarking, coaching, and mentoring going on at Vamos Juntos. The event is about coming together. Yes, I mean, there were sponsors and people who had booths, and they did a great job, and we are very appreciative of them for their financial contributions. But nobody was pushy in, with any selling or anything like that. It was a very amicable event. We also had a lock drinks event organized by Jan Hendricks at a local pub. And Pro-Z organized a powwow at a local cafe in the park. So it was really cool. Really, really interesting people. And I just appreciate the way everyone came and opened themselves to contributing.
So looking forward, any prelude that you can give us on Buenos Aires?
Well, we don't have any of the program organized yet. So it's an open book.
Any high general themes, not the programs, but general
themes. No, there's no theme. Vamos Juntos doesn't have a theme. We don't think that it's right to limit the topics discussed by imposing a theme, like, I don't know, the impact of AI or whatever. We don't need a theme, but the program has not been organized yet. We're going to do a call for papers soon. What I will say is that there were a few speakers who wanted to speak in Mexico that we couldn't fit into the program and that we basically strongly suggested they represent their idea for Buenos Aires. So I'm sure that we'll get some speakers out of that because there were just so many people who wanted to speak. And, well, I'm sure there will be some tango in Buenos Aires. We're in the process of organizing the venue. And Buenos Aires is a very well-known city, 13 million people. It's the largest city in Argentina. Well-known for the tango. It has generally very good weather in March. It's not cold by any means. It's very well known for its pasta, its pizzas, and its beef. If you go out of the city, there's all sorts of tourist attractions to do. So we're really excited. But as I said, the program has not yet been established, and the call for papers has not yet gone out. But I'm very sure that we will have the highest quality of caliber of speakers you can get. I mean, if you think about it, in Argentina, almost every LSP out there, every manufacturer of tools. Everybody working in this industry has somebody on their team who's in Argentina. Argentina is everywhere. So I'm sure that we're going to have a significantly larger crowd in Buenos Aires. And we will be reminded over and over that they won the last Soccer World Cup and that it was the third time for them and so forth, which is cool. You know, I'm not an Argentinian. I just live there.
And you take on the what do you call it? The celebration, whenever the celebration shows up.
Oh, why not? Why not?
Positive is better than negative, Charles.
Of course. Argentinians are very positive people. They have been coexisting with things like inflation and tariffs forever. So they suddenly feel vindicated by recent turns in global policy and so forth. But jokes aside, there's a very large community of translators and interpreters, project managers, engineers, salespeople, designers, marketing managers, social media managers, and so forth, talent community people, and so forth in Argentina that are guaranteed to make it a very lively, well-attended event. We're aiming for 200-plus people, so that will be a significant growth in number of attendees. We'll see. You know, I mean, so we're aiming for it. We don't have a guarantee. It's, you know, it's 11 months out at this point. Vamos Juntos was exactly 1 month ago.
Definitely we'll push that on the channel here for you. So hopefully that helps. And hopefully we'll put the word out for you for March 2026 in Argentina. And thanks for mentioning that in, during our call here today. I think I'd like to get, before we adjourn, one more view, if you don't mind. How are things going with TBO? Last time we spoke a little bit about TBO. Any update coming from your side on the TBO side?
Sure. I can be pretty transparent here and say that, you know, these are challenging times for language services providers. And TBO was one of the largest language service providers in Latin America and the Caribbean, so we're by no means immune to the market trends. That said, we work really hard to make sales. We have a sales team that is hustling, shaking and baking. And you know, we're very optimistic for ending this year on a high note. We started with a bang. Then in late February, there were certain international events that dampened expectations. But we, you know, we're working hard. We're adapting. We're optimistic. I'm the owner of the company, so, you know, everything is at stake for me. And, you know, despite the fact that I travel a lot to Africa, Latin America, Europe, North America, wherever, my next trip is actually to Scandinavia and Germany. But despite the fact that I travel a lot, I am, you know, hands-on guy, eye on the ball management, you know, I'm not aloof. So I am very much in touch with everything that's going on, and we're working really hard. In particular, I perceive the fact that the United States, in particular, is clamping down on both illegal and legal immigration. I perceive that the talent shortage in the United States is only going to get worse. So unemployment right now is at 4.1%. So it's up 0.1%. You know, there's a lot of drama out there that the world is ending, but unemployment is only up 0.1%. So there are many countries in the world that have 15% unemployment, or even the United States at earlier times. If you're my age, you went through real recessions where unemployment went from 4 to 12% in 1 year in 1991, yep. Right? Jobs yep, being hemorrhaged. That.
Yep.
By companies. That's not the case right now. Companies are facing a talent shortage. And this clampdown on immigration, both legal and illegal immigration, it's just going to make it more and more difficult to get things done for companies. I can remember in the pandemic, you'd go to a hotel and it would say, because of labor shortages, your room will only be cleaned on every second day. And it's like, okay, I can live with that. So these sorts of things are going to come back, I think, perhaps in the future. And for the localization, translation, and interpreting industry, that means a shortage of talent. And that is where a company like TBO, with our TBO talent division, will step in and attempt to bridge that gap by providing the highest quality of people that we can find on this planet for our customers on a sustainable basis. So in that sense, I'm optimistic. But yeah, it is a choppy waters. Choppy waters make for good fishing, we say here in Argentina. So, I'm optimistic. It's not meant to be easy. And whoever wants it to be easy is mistaken. No one said it was going to be easy. Nobody owning says. A business and being a manager, being a leader in a business has never actually been easy. But in this industry, we did have 30 years of pretty steady growth. You know, people used to say the industry is recession-proof. I used to say the industry is recession-proof. And I don't know. We'll find out whether or not this year there is a recession or not. There's certainly companies that have got their indicators on green, companies that have got their indicators on yellow, and companies that have got their indicators on red, or have got indicators of all different colors. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. For us, you know, it's hard work and optimism. And, you know, I'm expecting it to be a good year for TBO.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to thank you for the update. It was great seeing you again. And hopefully I see you face-to-face at some point soon.
Where will that be? Because we last
saw each other. We've got to figure this out, man.
Yeah, we last saw each other in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia at the Translation Forum there, which was a fantastic
event. Yeah, that was a good gathering.
Well-organized event. Several people who attended that event were present at Vamos Juntos.
They're you still in communication, too. I feel like the networking that was created then, it was still like, together. You know, the people that met the first time in their life in Rio, they still exchange messages on.
You skipped it. We had the reunion without you.
Oh, I know you did. I saw the pictures. You were rubbing it on my nose, which is fine. I'll get another day.
There you go.
Great. Hey, thanks, Charles. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Always good to see you. And any last comments before I leave?
No, I just say see you at Vamos Juntos in March 13 and 14 of 2026 in Buenos Aires. If you'd like to contribute in any way as a speaker, sponsor, board member, exhibitor, attendee, reach out. I'm pretty easy to find, and I'd love to hear from you. And I'm very confident it's going to be a strong event. And you know, thinking about an industry, you know, hey, it's going to be a challenging year. Let's rise to the challenge.
Absolutely, absolutely. More of these events will help contribute to the rise through the challenge, because we're collecting information from each other and learning from each other through these conversations. Thanks for continuing the dialogue, Charles. I really appreciate it. And thank you for joining me today on this call, on this podcast recording. Also appreciate it. And to our audience, thank you so much for listening in if you're coming in on our podcast. And thanks for viewing us on YouTube. Really appreciate it. And thanks for reading the blog site. I hear the blog site that we summarize these conversations on, if you feel like reading versus listening or seeing on YouTube. The blog site is always available, robinayoub.blog. This is where you can find previous conversations and the summary of this, the upcoming summary of this particular conversation with Charles. So thanks to everybody for joining us today, and I look forward to seeing you on the other side. Charles, don't hang up just yet, okay?
Thank you.